Hallelujah. Father, we declare your goodness today. We rejoice, Lord, in it. Father, in all the blessings you poured out upon us. Father, we believe for the empowering of the Holy Ghost that we can rise up and carry the blessings of this new covenant to the world, to those who've not yet heard your gospel, who don't know you. Lord, we can just give forth the love of God and all the blessings of God that will go with it, that people might believe upon you. We thank you, Lord, you are reaching a people in this last hour before your return, reaching a people across this land, throughout the world, the nations. Father, we continue to stand in faith for the great harvest of souls. And we know that we have a place in that, in particular, to be carriers of the love of God as the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. Lord, we carry forth the anointing of the Holy Ghost into this land. Hallelujah. Father, we just bring our love to you today to bless you, to minister to you. And we know you've received it. Now, Father, we open our heart to receive the ministry of the word to our spirit today. And we thank you for edifying and strengthening your people today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Well, we are blessed to have a Armada conference this week. And being that Brother Bob's in the area. Where are you, Bob? Oh, over the... Okay, there he is. I asked him to come and share with us today. And Bob's a dear friend. You know, he and Dale in particular, too, that... you know, I'm locked arm in arm and submitted to, and we minister one to another and hold one another up in prayer and encouragement. And, of course, there's others. But Brother Bob's been pastoring for years and has been released more so to flow in the prophetic office calling. And whenever I say things like that, you want to try tonight, have this idea locked in your head, well, that means this or this. You know, just receive how God would use them today, and I believe he would minister to us in a special way as the Lord's stirred something in him. So, Brother Bob, you want to come?
What a privilege and honor it is to be with you in the house of the Lord. Those of you fathers in here, we certainly greet you in the name of Jesus. I believe this might be a special day in the United States of America to honor you. So I honor you, dads. Amen. You know where Jesus said, I got to be about my Father's business. He laid a couple things in my heart before I can really get into what he showed me here. So I just ask you to join your faith with me as this couple right here just join their hands together, if they would please. I just felt God had a word for them in this season. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you the entrance of your word here this morning will bring light, illumination into each one of our lives. We bless you for that. We do. We stand in awe of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Bill and Donna, for allowing me to come and to share with this great church. I'm so excited. How do you like this? If you get all this today, you're doing better than I am, all right? I got a new printer. It's about this big, and it comes out in a roll. When I was teaching in the Odessa, Ukraine this past year, I had a week of Bible school, so I just pull out the roll, and I said, you're about to hear the roll. Amen. So, my friends, I don't know if I've used it since. I think I got it straightened out, so I'll begin to to share with you what I feel the Lord has given me on this assignment as I'm with you on a Father's Day. I believe I might have been here one other Father's Day, yes. What I see, yeah, I see it too. I see it strong. Jesus. If I could share that with you. God help me. Just give me a minute. I know I'm a mess today, but that's okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I was praying for you even this week in preparation to come into this great house. And the Lord speaks words to me, Alan, as well, and I get pictures. And sometimes he lets me see things. So I get both sides of it at times, and, you know, I am just blessed. However he wants to do it, he can do it in me. Because I basically am his property. He has every right to access my life whenever he wants, and I believe that's probably the same with you. Can you say amen? What I've seen over this house, and part of the message that I want to minister to the best of my ability as I yield to the Holy Spirit on behalf of what I feel is probably a season that you're coming into, and I know you've been prepared for it, each and every one of you. This house has been prepared. I know that preparation time is never wasted time, but I also know that God has a quiver, and in that quiver are arrows, and I believe each and every one of you are arrows in that quiver. I believe that there's destinations, assignments, things that need to be accomplished in the season in which we're about to walk into. It's set. You were born for such a time as this. I want you to know that no matter how young you are in this house, how old you are, this is your time to shine. This is your time to hit the mark. This is your time not to drag your feet, but to run in willingness and obedience to what the Lord shows you to do on practical levels each and every day, and on corporate levels as you come into agreement and you understand your gift, your grace, and you allow that grace to bring you into your place so that you could come together in what I believe is the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace, so that you could know and understand the peace of God that passes understanding in the midst of all the storms that lie ahead, all the things that we will face in this nation. But you've been prepared for this, and you are the children of God, and I have a word for you. I believe you most of it have it memorized, but I believe that Jesus said, I'll build the church, and the gates of hell, or the powers of hell, won't prevail against it. Could you say amen to that? Y'all heard that before, I'm certain. So if we understand that the powers of hell can't prevail against you, that doesn't mean that the powers of hell won't prevail against the world. Those that are not in Christ, those that are not rooted and grounded in love, those that are not understanding and walking in the fullness of what God has made available to you. But I do know one thing. You in this house carry an amount, an overabundance. I'll call it an overabundance because that's basically we should flow from the abundance of our hearts. And knowing that you have been privileged to be called and to set in this ministry with the revelation knowledge that has flown from this pulpit, to a degree that God doesn't waste what he gives us. I said he don't waste it. He's still the King of the Jews. And I was in business for a lot of years before I went into ministry. And I had a lot of men in that would come into my grocery store, into my business. And most of them were Jewish. And I learned real quick, even before I was saved, that they know how to stretch the buck and they know how to make the best out of every dollar they got. Well, if he's the king of the Jews and we're his kids and we're joint heirs with him, don't you ever think that he don't know how to stretch you beyond your capacity. You understand me? In other words, I believe it's like the tent, and they're going to stretch out those stake pegs. They're going to put those stakes down deeper. Because why? There's more in store than what you've entered into, but I believe what I've seen is for you. I wouldn't stand here if I didn't believe this. What I've seen that there's going to be an open gate. If you can imagine a gate, I live on a ex-Amish farm. I'm not a farmer. Do you understand me? But I understand farms, and I take my dogs for walks, and I'll have to open up some of these gates that surround my property. And so I open up that gate. Now, I don't need that gate just for me, because that gate is probably half the size of this the stage. But I have to open it up so I can get me and my dogs through it. Usually the dogs will go underneath it. You understand? I'm not crawling down there anymore. I'm going to open the gate. And what I've seen the gate has been opened for you for a greater flow of mercy. It's unique that you're teaching on the love of God. And as I said in this morning's class, I was so blessed on the level of revelation and wisdom and insight, because it's a now word. It's a now word for all of us in the church. And I just want to bless you, Alan, and thank you for your obedience to rise up in your gifting and your calling. I've seen the gates of a greater flow of mercy. Now, here's where the way we spell ministry is W-O-R-K. You remember that? I thought maybe you might. And so I know that's not good English, all right, as far as you look it up in the dictionary, but I think anybody that's been involved in the ministry or been connected to some degree that has a heart to serve understands it requires work, it requires labor, it requires diligence and sensitivity to serve God with the right heart, with the right mindset. And to do it not only in obedience to do what he gives us, but to do it willingly. Because if the willingness ain't there, we better check up on our heart. Because once our heart is adjusted, we enter into the obedience, and then we tap into the grace that belongs to us in that assignment, in that purpose. And it might be a short season, but you're going to find out that you're not doing it in your own power nor your own might. You're going to find out that the winds of the Holy Spirit are blowing upon you to accomplish more than you ever knew was possible for you to be able to do. See, God's going to bring all of us, I believe, in the body of Christ, out of ourselves into him in a deeper place. And as we do that, as I've seen these gates, I believe there's opportunities to extend mercy that will become readily available in the season ahead. That you have been and are being prepared for this season. Hearts prepared for our purpose. Eyes open to see and to understand the need of mankind, and to know your steps have already been ordered by the Lord for each step of the way and each day. So go and do his word, by being an extension of his mercy to those who need, those who are in need. And we understand the harvest is at hand. This is harvest time. Now, as I look at this in Hebrews, you know these scriptures. There's great teachers in this house, so I'll just throw out stuff and they can figure it all out when I'm done. All right, that's a good thing. I get to blow in, blow up, blow out. All right, y'all pray for me, okay? So, Hebrews 4:16, I know you have that memorized, but I'll read it to you. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly," or with confidence, "unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy," or receive mercy, "and find grace to help in time of need." Now, I want to flip your mind over. That's not just about you. It can be used for you. You understand me? But I want you to see you're ambassadors for someone. And as he is, so are we. Where? In the world. So we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his mouthpiece, we're his agents. We're the ambassadors of the love of God. Can you say amen? So, in other words, we represent him in our stay here on this planet. So, as he is, so are we. He said, these works and greater works shall who? We do. He was not just talking to the fivefold ministry. He was talking to those that believe. In other words, the followers of Jesus Christ. And I know if you're in this house, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, because you probably couldn't stay very long if you weren't. You might as well say amen. So, as what I understand, that you qualify. So as we come into this place, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain or receive mercy and find the grace to help in a time of need. Now, to obtain mercy, mercy and grace for us, but also for the needs of humanity in this hour. That's what I want you to focus on. We're going to look beyond ourselves. We're going to look beyond us four and no more, okay? We're going to look beyond what we knew was normal church life. And I know that you guys have touched many, many lives through this house. Many people have come to Jesus. Many people that have been ministered to, you know, physically as well as emotionally as well as spiritually. But I believe a lot of what you've already been through has been preparation for this time. Oh, you mean there's more work to do? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Amen. And you were born for this season. You're saying, well, no, you know how old I am. It don't matter. Can you say amen? Because it's not going to be by your own power. It's going to be by his. It's going to be by his grace. It's going to be by his spirit. And he will give you what you need to get her done, because he wants her done. Can you shout amen in this house? The time of need is here now. We understand that. When I was praying for 2004, God showed me some things, you know, out of Psalm 23. I know you're all quite familiar with that, but one of the things I've seen was goodness and mercy's been trying to capture us, seek us down like a heat-seeking missile. King James says, follow us. Well, sometimes you got to turn around and let it get on you. Can you say amen? Oh, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. And he is good. Can you say amen? I stand before you because he's a good, good God. I stand before you because he's faithful and just. And I stand before you because he's faithful to his word to perform it. I stand before you because why? His grace is sufficient for me and you to run our race. Can you say amen to that? So I'd like you to go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, I'll start in verse 5. I encourage you to go back on some of these scriptures and hit them in the context of which they are set in. In Psalm 27, verse 5, it says, in the time of trouble, would you say we're there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. We've done that this morning, haven't we? And he says here, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, I have mercy also upon me and answer me. Aren't you glad his mercy endures forever? Aren't you glad great is his faithfulness? So he says, hear me when I cry, have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And I want to encourage you, point your seeking towards his face, not his hand. You'll have what he has in his hand. You will find out that when you seek the right thing, he'll make certain you got everything you need. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, aren't you glad that we got a word that we stand on in our individual lives? That he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you. How long? Even unto the end. And we're not there yet, but I believe we're closer than any generation has ever been before, and I think you could probably agree with that. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord took me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. I like that as a plain path, glory to God, because I'm a pretty simple guy. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, and I'm here to tell you there's enemies in the land. There's principalities, there's powers, there's rulers of darkness, there's spiritual wickedness that is raging, not only over our nation, but over many of the nations of the world in this day and this hour. There is war, there's physical war, but more important than that, there is spiritual war taking place. And you and I were called to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You and I were called to be fully equipped in all the armor of God. You and I have to understand that we're not fighting flesh and blood here, but that we are fighting those principalities, those powers, those rulers of darkness, those spiritual wickedness that is placed in high places. But you and I understand that we're fully equipped in the full armor of God, and we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you and I have the shield of faith. And today I want you to join your shields together. I want you to lock up with each other like maybe you've never done before. Because why? Those shields can quench every fiery dart that the wicked one tries to bring against you. And I want you to know fiery darts are coming to the body of Christ. But bless God, you and I can stand strong. We can stand up and we can take back the land and we can win the victory, because thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that you are men and women of faith, and all things are still possible to him who believeth, and with God all things are possible. I want to encourage you. You understand faith. You know how to apply faith. I know you know how to walk by faith. I want you to understand one thing. Be strong in the Lord in this season of time. In other words, allow yourselves not to stop moving forward in God's purpose, in his grace, in his place that he has set you in, not to stop going out and being an extension of the mercy of God, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. And you know 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, you understand what love is. Well, as he is, that's who you are. And right now, the world needs to see the manifestations of the love of God. And one of these ways they're going to see it is by the extension of the mercy that comes from the man and woman of God, by the house of God, that'll reach into their communities, that'll reach into their regions, that'll reach into their world, understanding that you and I together can wrap this baby up. But we've got work to do, my brother and sister. That's why we got a call. We got a call on greater grace in this day, in this hour. We got a call and allow the Holy Spirit to refresh us every day. We need to stay full of the Holy Ghost and power. We understand we've already been anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and we get to go out and do good and heal all that are oppressed of the devil, because God's with us the same way he was with Jesus, because the same Holy Ghost that he was full of, you and I are full of. Can you say amen? In other words, if the same Holy Ghost that raised him up from the dead lives inside of you, I believe he can rip up and take us up out of the hell that's trying to keep us back from running the race that's set before us. So understand, I'm in agreement with you. You're coming up and you're going up higher than ever before, stronger than ever before, more anointed than ever before, to accomplish more in less time than you've ever known was possible, because the hand of the Lord is upon this church and he's not finished doing what needs to be done. So glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I get excited. Hallelujah. So as I look at this, he says, deliver me not over the will of my enemies, verse 12, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You know, there's an accuser of the brethren out there. Did you know that? Don't listen to him. He's a liar. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the what? Of the Lord in the what? In the land of the living. Would that qualify for us right now? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. New King James says, I like this version here. It says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I hope I can read different versions here and not get thrown out. This in the Amplified says this: what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Now, I'll say this. This is your season to shine with the goodness and mercy of the glory of the Lord. And I got a scripture for you. I think it starts out like, now faith is. And you're people of faith. Can you say amen to that? So more of the scroll. Are you okay? I haven't lost you yet. I want you to understand what mercy is. I think you already do. You probably define it better than me, but I've been guilty in my life, and I've had other people tell me, well, you just give too much mercy. My wife and I are totally different. And, you know, if she's pretty well black and white, and she's learned to extend mercy. Don't misunderstand me. She's really grown. She's a powerful woman of God. But especially in our earlier years, mercy come easy to me. And I believe part of it was because of the way I come into Christ and what I was involved in before that and understood his great love and forgiveness towards such a wicked, wretched man. So I seen his mercy for me, and I embraced it, and I rely on it all the time still. I'm thankful for the Lord's mercy. And mercy is defined as this in one definition through your Strong's. It's the kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted. Now, I know that's nobody here. Say amen. Amen. Joined with the desire to help them. So God will give you the desires of your heart. You hang out with him and you'll find out whatever's fleshly desires. And the real desires will start to come into light. Amen? It is the outward manifestation of pity. It assumes need on the part of him who receives it. And resources adequate to meet the need on the part of him who shows it. That's the vines. Mercy is the act of God. Grace describes God's attitude towards the lawbreaker and the rebel. Mercy is his attitude towards those who are in distress. You are going to see things come to a new level in this nation. You are already experiencing things like that. But suffering humanity is going to see what I believe, things that will shift and change in the coming days that'll bring it to a new level. And because of that, the church, this house, I believe many others, are prepared to be the extension of the mercy of God to suffering humanity, to the distress, to the mess that they're involved in because of sin. Because they're not yet connected, because they have not yet been born again. If this is ever a time for the evangelistical spirit to rise upon all of us, it's now. Understanding, one thing I can guarantee, one thing I appreciate this house, you get somebody saved and I know you're going to be committed to disciple them. Because we don't leave babies. Can you say amen? And I know that sometimes they'll run away from us. But on the other side of it, is our heart willing to have mercy with that individual that just come to Christ? Because why? There's a messed up world out there. There's people that don't know what gender they are. I don't want to get into that stuff. But what I am going to say is you and I live in a world that probably the majority of us in here are like, wow, how did we get here? Am I the only one that says that? Yeah. It's like, I mean, I've had conversations and I was like, you know, I never dreamed I would see what I see today. Well, in the coming days, you're going to see the distress come to a new level on humanity. And those that are in Christ, that are rooted and grounded in the foundations of the principles of God, they have relationships with God, they are going to be the pillars of this day and this hour. It's going to be the strength of the church, the strength of the believers, the strength that they stand in the Word of God, the strength that they know that they have in relying on the Holy Spirit to use them, to guide them, and to lead them, to empower them because they've received power after He has come upon them so that they could be something they couldn't be in the natural, and now they have become witnesses of the one and only Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So, as I look at this, I'm looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 50, it says, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." At 150 in the Amplified says, "And His mercy, His compassion and kindness towards the miserable and the afflicted is on those who fear Him with godly reverence from generation to generation and age to age." Now, I know that if you're here this morning, you fear the Lord. Amen? I like to know you haven't gone to sleep on me. That's why I do that. Amen. You know, when you travel and you know, all churches are different, and that's so cool. And I don't know. Sometimes people can stand there with their eyes wide open and be totally out somewhere. Yeah, yeah. And you know, if it's the things of God, that's okay. Amen. I mean, I've said in service, Pastor, I know you have, and I know other ministers said in service, they're teaching on one thing and God's downloading something totally different in me. I'm like, well, I am here, but I'm sitting at the table right now with one who wants to talk to me about something else, and that's okay because I'm under the anointing. Can you say amen? Thank God for the anointing. Yes. So, you okay? I know this is Father's Day, and I don't want to burn your time, but I go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. I'll be quick. In verse 35, it says, "And it came to pass that as He," the Lord, "was come nigh unto Jericho, a blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they went, which went before, rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the much more, Jesus, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What will thou that I should do for you? And Jesus said unto him, or he said unto the Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy what? Just by coming to the Anointed One and His anointing, I want you to see that's who you are today. Just by them coming to a believer like you, they might not know faith like you know, but they have something going on in the inside of them, because they're crying out for mercy. And many people know that the church is the extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this case, he says, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now go to Luke 17, verse 11. It came to pass as he went into Jerusalem, as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he had entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, now here's where we got to catch it. We've got to have discernment. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, say loud voice.
Loud voice.
Yeah. Glorified God. That's going to be a connection to the miracles that lie ahead. Some people don't want all that he has, but there's going to be some that do. They got a touch from the Lord. They got healed, and praise God for that. What a witness that is to them. But then there's others that more than their bodies have been healed, their hearts have been touched. And it turns into praise. It turns into thanksgiving. It turns into a level where God can't help himself. And here's, you know the story, but let me read it to you. He fell down on his face at the feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were not there yet 10 cleansed? Question. But where are the other 9? In other words, he expected them all to come and do this. They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. What is it to heal them? Thy faith hath made thee whole. To be whole here, you know exactly what it means. It's actually the word sozo. It's to save, to keep, safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. One from peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction. Destruction is here. We know who the destroyer is. Our mission, yours and mine, is to continue to take this gospel, which you and I are quite familiar with. It's still the power of God unto salvation for humanity. To become The hands, the feet, the mouthpiece, and the extension of the mercy of God that endures forever. And to release that mercy upon suffering humanity in the distress, desire, and the destruction that their lives have entered into. And it has increased, it will increase, and I'm not trying to scare you. But you're the church, and these gates of hell don't have to prevail against you and me. And you and I can stay strong. You and I can live underneath the shadow of the Almighty. You and I have Philippians 4:19, and He meets every one of those needs. You and I live in covenant with Psalm 23. You and I know that Isaiah 53 is certainly true. You and I have great and exceeding promises from Him that by the divine, we are partakers of His divine nature. You and I have right to access, going to the throne of grace to obtain mercy for ourselves, but also for humanity, for each other. And as we understand, we can obtain that mercy, and then we find the grace, the strength, the ability of God to be able to come and capture us so that we can capture them, bringing them out of darkness into light, bringing the substance that is needed to get their attention. It might be groceries. It might be clothing. It might be somebody to show up in their darkest hour and minister the comfort of the Holy Spirit to them. It doesn't have to be this thing or that thing. It needs to be the willingness and the obedience to listen to what God's saying to them, and you be the distributor of the manifestation of that mercy in that given time of need, because God's going to show Himself as we extend our lives in the mercy of God, because that mercy will endure forever. And we understand that great is His faithfulness. And when I say great is His faithfulness, what is His faithfulness to? It's to His word, to perform it. And one of the last things that I'll say here today, because I haven't even started, but what I want you to see here is the Bible still says, go into all the church. Go into where? You mean I got to step outside these doors? Fear not. He's with you. You were born for this hour. Your feet are on a solid rock. I know that there's a level of revelation in this house. I know that there's certain houses I couldn't preach this kind of message, but I can in this one. Because you have been prepared to be the extensions of who He is in different manifestations according to you. He knows you. He knows the gifts you carry. He knows the ability. And you know what? If you don't have it, He'll give it to you. If you're the only one that says, you know what, God? Here I am. Send me. You'll find out that He'll download what you need so that you can get the job done and show forth the excellency of the glory of God in the manifestations of that mercy. Can you shout amen to that? I'm going to read one last scripture. I just can't help myself. Can I do that to you? I'll just flip to another version if I can find it here. Oh, help me, Jesus. Shaka bundi. You know, I missed the main thing. And I was told that I had to stay on the main thing. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, so they shall obtain mercy. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Luke 6:36. Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now here's the one I want to read to you. It's the Passion Translation out of Colossians chapter 3. I'll start in verse 12. You are always and dearly loved by God. I think if you didn't catch that during this service, you missed it. You understand, you are way out there somewhere. So robe yourselves with virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. And be compassionate, showing kindness towards them all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable, in your patience with others. Oh, I don't want to hear that one. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith. Wow. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. To love, for love is supreme and must flow through each and all these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your hearts be always guided by peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Colossians 3, that's 12 through 15. I'll pray over this scripture for you. James 2, Moffat translation, 12. Speak, act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For the judgment will be merciless to the man who has or has shown no mercy. Whereas the merciful life will triumph in the face of judgment. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, what you've showed me, I've delivered to these your people. I thank you for their tenderness of their heart and the acceptance of your word. I thank you for the willingness to accomplish the will of God, the call of God, and the purposes of God upon their life. I thank you today, Lord, that you continually fill them with the knowledge of your will concerning the extension of being those that will extend mercy to suffering humanity. And Lord, I'm asking you to give them the wisdom, the witty ideas, the way that you would have them to carry it out that would be pleasing to you. So, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you will give them the manifestations of the wealth that is needed, of the resources that are needed, of the right people to be in the right place in the given moments of time, and that there would be a unity of the Spirit that would bring them together, who would make and accomplish more in the season ahead, so that Jesus Christ would be glorified in all that they do, all that they say, and everywhere they go into each heart in which they reach. So, Father, we're asking you today to give them the heathen for their inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for their possession. So I call that out upon this house in the name of Jesus, that the evangelistical anointing with the foundation of the revelations in which they carry will keep them in a strong platform, so when the winds blow, the storms come, they won't be shaken. But they'll be the ones who can stand in the midst of the struggles of the battles of which is to come, and be distributors of your mercy, of your heart, and of your goodness, and of the anointing of God in which they carry, that there would be miracles, signs and wonders, demonstrations of the power of God that would flow through their lives and flow through this church to the next level beyond what they've ever asked or thought before. Lord God, put it on them, strengthen them, equip them more, and keep them strong, and give them eyes to see in a new light. Give them ears to hear into the secret things in which they know, and as you instruct them in the way that they should go, that they will see it, know it, comprehend it, and walk it out, and accomplish great and mighty tasks in this season ahead. In the name of Jesus. You just give me a minute. If I'm done, I'll let you know. When he's done, I need to quit. Breakthrough. Yeah, breakthrough. Breakthrough is available for all of you. So it's time to understand that I've given you the breakthrough, and now it's time you walk through. Yes, walk through. Walk through. That step of faith, that next step that I've ordered you to, that's the one you got to take, and you'll get the breakthrough. So rejoice and be glad, for there's much in store that I've kept up for you for this season in which you're in. So rejoice and be glad, and let the shout of praise become louder and louder and louder in the days ahead. And you will find the victory that belongs to you in the breakthrough you've been asking for, saith the Spirit of Grace.